Here, I've got, because I'm recording all this so we can stick it on the website. But if you're here and Ed's here, you might as you got the floor to yourself. You might as well. You might as well enjoy it. You may find yourself repeating a few things before the day's out, Ed. But,
okay.
But that'll work. Mary, you're on.
I'm on.
You're on.
All right, Ed. So how's it going?
It's fine.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, in the middle of the season in Arizona, you can't beat that.
Oh, that's nice. Not bad at all. Good. So what's this new system you've got set up?
Well, basically, we're running a customer loyalty program with a smart card that's got a chip embedded in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a year ago last November. Got about 2,000 people signed up at this point.
Wow.
And aiming probably 10 a day of repeat customers coming back using a card.
Hmm.
And, you know, basically it works. We sell the card for $5.
Mm-hmm.
We put $20 worth of goods and services on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the customer can come in and use that as cash.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to any one of our venues or a gig up and use it. And then every dollar they spend after that builds up points on the card, and we redeem the points back all the way on up to 10,000 points. I think 10,000 points is worth $2,000 worth of goods and services.
You got a good memory for an old guy.
Yeah, now what we've got is we've got some customers now have hit and spending $4,000 or $5,000 on their cards. One guy's got like 6,000 points.
Wonderful.
So, you know, what it does just gives you a nice way to bring back that customer and, of course, to keep track of them. And you know that the smart card customers, I think about out of the 2,000 we've got, you probably have 600 or 700 of them that are active all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have, I don't think you'll have 2,000 of them. A lot of them are gifts. One guy at Christmas time bought, I think he bought 80 cards for his employees
mm-hmm.
as a Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot of potential for cross promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good, easy way to keep contact with your good customers.
Wonderful. And so where are you acquiring these smart cards? Is there a particular vendor that's
Most of the people who now who handle your credit card stuff will be, you know, probably
of them
are offering the customer loyalty card.
Mm-hmm.
This particular company is out of California.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're the best. I'm not saying that there aren't a better deal out there. We happen to choose the one with the embedded chip because I like the looks of it better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get them with Magstripe cards, and the cards cost anywhere from $1 all the way up to $3-4. So we got ours down to about $2 now.
Good.
And but in most cases, you'll spend if you do a Magstripe, you can get them for as low as $1 a card.
Excellent.
And I, you know, the internet, customer appreciation cards, you can type in smart cards. I'd go first to the people who, I don't know if you got a point of sale system or
mm-hmm.
what you're using, but the first person I would go to would be the person that handles the point of sale.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, most of the new vendors now have some sort of smart card or customer appreciation thing.
Right. Excellent.
We've had a couple of folks join us since we started, so who we got lurking on the line out there?
Hello, it's Kevin Ross from Jake's Neighborhood Grill in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Who else is it?
Hey, it's Marcy from Finn's Grill in Sebastian.
Oh, great. Florida contingent checks in. We're all over the place today.
All right.
And we got Mary Holder from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed's in Arizona, and I'm in Seattle. That pretty much blankets it.
Yeah. And I got the coldest.
Best weather.
Yeah, there you go.
Any questions? Let me tell you why we did the smart card deal. These guys came in off the street basically to pitch this to me, and I had been looking for something that I could put some effort into that you could measure, as you know, doing some of the stuff that, that Bill, you know, says to do, and some of the stuff that Rory Fatt in his marketing system. There's just a ton of stuff you can do out there, but I needed something that I could really put ourselves behind. And I thought this is really a prestigious one. And we're not a prestigious restaurant. You know, we're sawdust on the floor, checkered tablecloths, a lot of hokey stuff. But we've got people that on these smart cards that now are coming back, you know, two and three times a week, building up those points. And, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to give away points. Eventually somebody's going to redeem it, and eventually I guess a guy could spend enough money where he would never ever spend any more money with you. But I don't think that's a real bad thing. And, you know, what it gives you also is a way to promote different things at different times of the year. We had one promotion we did in the summertime last summer that when things were slow, where we basically offered the smart card people, let us put $100 cash on your smart card, you give us a credit card for it, and we'll actually put $150 on their card. So we were giving them a big bonus, and we sold at that point, I think we sold about $10,000 worth. It was a good deal, you know, and we got the cash, and as everyone knows, only about 80% of any promotion ever gets redeemed. So you're making 20% out there. I mean, we still, on that little promotion, we gave away, I think, $15,000 worth of goods and services, and to this date, I think only $6,500 has ever come back, even on the smart cards.
Do you have to account for that at all? Is that?
You mean account for it in cash?
Yeah, I mean, is that considered income to you? And
yeah, you would have to. It's selling a gift certificate, basically, is what it would be. And you know, however you put that in your system, what we do is we actually stick it out in a liability account as a gift certificate sold, and then when it gets redeemed, actually gets run up on cash register and discounted.
Oh, okay.
This is Kevin in Peterborough, Canada, calling. We recently started up a frequent diner program with the frequent diner cards, and one of the things that I found, and I don't know if it's similar to the card that you're using, if you spend $100, we send you a $10 gift certificate.
Right.
What it did for us is, first of all, the people who signed up for a frequent diner program started coming in more often because they were getting rewarded for it. But we also found out that our best customer wasn't somebody who we thought it was. You know, the person who spends the most money, I was totally flabbergasted. I never had an idea that they spent that kind of money in my restaurant.
Well, we basically started out, I think I said this before you got on the line, but the way we started with it is, you know, we could have given it away. And I feel it's like Weight Watchers years ago. You know, Weight Watchers could have given those the Weight Watcher membership away, but they found out early on that if you charge somebody something, then they have a vested interest in it.
Yeah.
And we basically did the same thing. We wanted to cover our cost of processing the card, even though we do it in-house. Somebody has to type it up and enter it in the system, and then actually take the card, which the first cards cost us about $350. So we put a $5 charge on the card. And I've never gotten anybody complain about that, mainly because our pitch is, you give me $5 and I'm going to give you $20. So I'm putting $20 in that card to start with. And we don't let them buy the card on the premises. We let them fill out the application, and then they can, and we mail it to them. So that they have to come back. Once they come back, they redeem that $20. That starts the point system going, and we put 20 points on for the $20 they redeemed, and then it just goes from there. And we've got a lot of people who have come back time after time who have never redeemed the $20 yet. Don't ask me why, but they're going to save it all up and then redeem the points for dollars and maybe have a party or bring somebody in from out of town, but it's just a great way to get those frequent customers come back.
I got and I talked about this with my wife. When we send out rewards, We put a limit on it, and or not a limit, but we said it had to be redeemed by, and the first set went out, you know, every 3 months they have, you have to redeem it within 3 months you get it, but we also said you can only use one promotional gift certificate, one rewards gift certificate at a time, so that they will come back two or three more times to use it. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but...
Yeah, we, with the smart card program, you know, we really don't care, you know, we don't put a limit on when you can redeem it because it's a membership card, so it's your membership, in our case, we found that we've got some customers are back two or three times a week, some are once a month, and we're a heavy-duty tourist place, and the local people tend to come to see us when they have out-of-town visitors. Some of these people are saving up their points or whatever for some sort of big party. I'm just very happy with the program. I'd like to get out there. In fact, our next big promotion is going to be with a large company that's got like 500 to 1,000 employees. And if we can talk them into giving us $5 for each card that we're going to give their employees, we just picked up 500 to 1,000 new customers that we never had before. And that's the whole purpose of the card, is to try and get that customer, first of all, get a new one, and then secondly, once you get them, to get them to come back again within a certain period of time.
Yeah. Good.
Who else we got? We got heard a few more clicks on the line.
Hi there.
Who's that?
This is Peter Troutman.
I was wondering if you were going to make it.
Oh,
friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
I listened to the recording. Sorry, I ducked in a little late here. I had a quick question, actually quite a few of them. We had been investigating doing a gift card, smart card program a couple of years ago, and this piqued my interest again. And I've been doing a little legwork the last week or so since listening to the CD, and I wanted to ask you some direct questions if I could.
Okay, shoot.
Well, my biggest concern is, number one, do you use these strictly as smart cards? What happens if someone comes in and wants, a loyalty card, or when somebody comes in and wants to buy a gift certificate for someone?
Well, we pitch them both ways. We tell them that, we'd be more than happy to put it on a smart card, or we'll give them a regular paper gift certificate, depending on where the person is. Haven't sold a whole lot of smart cards. Most of the people will opt for the gift certificate. But you can use a way. You could, we have signs up that say, smart cards make great gifts. And in one case, like I said before, we had a company president who bought smart cards to give to his employees as Christmas gifts. And, that makes a real great promotion because you're picking up 80 people that you never had before.
So you don't have two separate cards, that one you sell as a gift card, which you could do, I guess.
No. Our card will handle both points and dollars.
Okay.
The way you can encode it. And so you can add loyalty points or you can add cash dollars to it. And what we do is every time the customer comes in and spends, let's say the customer comes in and spends $50, gives the server the smart card along with the server goes over and gets a manager to add 50 points to that card. And then as those points build up, we will redeem those as cash.
Yeah, okay, I understand that. I guess my biggest, I was under the impression you had gift cards as well.
No, the gift card and the smart card is exactly the same.
Okay. So you could, though, in theory, print two different looking cards, one that they didn't realize, one that was just a gift card and one that was a gift and loyalty card, or I should say a cash and loyalty card?
Absolutely. I mean, you could structure it any way you want it.
Yeah.
Depending on how much you're willing to, how many different kinds of cards and spending that you want.
In listening to to the CD, I heard you say that you wouldn't go with a smart card again. You'd probably go with the mag card.
Yeah, if I had it to do over again, I would.
And I guess I'm coming to find out that the main difference between the two is that with the mag card, your machine has to dial up like to get approval, like a credit card each time.
No, actually not. What happens is that most of the loyalty card companies will charge you a transaction fee.
Mm-hmm.
And in our case, because we're in-house, we're not we're not accessing any database that they've got.
But that's because you have a smart card, because it keeps the information on the card, correct?
Right. What we do is we keep a separate database on our computer in the back office, and we have the number of the card tied to that database.
Okay.
So that, and then every day, to keep any funny stuff from happening, we keep a log, and if a manager puts on $20 cash on a card or 20 points, they have to log the number of the card, and then the girl in the office takes that and adds it to that person's database. The end of the day, the machine that we actually add the points and the cash dials out to the provider and says these guys used this thing 20 times and they charge you a dime apiece.
Right, I understand that too. Okay, but if you went to a MagStripe system, it has to dial up each time you swipe a card.
I don't think so.
Well, that's what they're telling me, and that's why they're so much cheaper. That's what's the expense of the smart card. They told me 6 swipes is the break-even point, so that if you think that card's going to get 6 swipes 6 times, that you're better off using the smart card. That's cheaper because you don't pay the transaction fees on the smart card like you do on the...
Well, we pay a transaction fee because for the use of the smart card.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we're paying 10 cents for every time you insert the card in that machine.
Huh.
All right, so...
This guy that I'm talking to has no charges for that.
Well,
he charges you for a nightly batch out,
right?
And a monthly service charge, and he sells you the cards, of course,
right?
At three something a piece.
Well, see, that's high.
Well,
that smart card or
smart? That's smart.
Yeah, smart card. You could probably get. He's making a buck and a half a card on that.
We've
got it down to $2 now.
The Mag cards, I'm finding them at 39 cents a piece.
Yeah, you can get them real cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
We started this a year and a half ago, and it obviously there's been a lot of people jumped on board with this thing now, I guess the main thing, if I had it to do over again, I would do it with a company that keeps a better database.
Yeah.
This company that we signed up with has a database that'll keep the records of what's occurring, but you've got to manually enter that on a sheet and fax it to them.
Okay, no, they keep all this stuff.
Yeah, and so we just did our own database back in the back. We said if we're going to do that, we might as well just keep it in on premise.
Right.
So I would definitely go with a system that you could input the customer's name very easily.
Okay.
And tie it to the number of the card.
Right. Okay.
And tell how much you're spending and when they come back. We do it from from a back of the house database.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So you don't have two different cards, and you could.
We only have one card.
Yeah, okay. We have such an elderly clientele at times a year that I think the whole loyalty thing would... We are probably doing about $30,000 a year in gift certificate business, and I'm just hesitant to confuse those people too much by not having just a straight old cash card that without any too many bells and whistles to it to confuse some of the older people.
Like I said, we sell a lot of gift certificates, also a lot of paper ones, and we do a lot of elderly business, Sun City type business also, and the main thing that sells our card is the fact that you give us $5 and we're going to give you 20.
20, right.
And so we're giving you $20 to come and have dinner with us, and that becomes a focal point for all of our advertising and promotion, I'm a crazy guy, and I'm going to give you $20 to come and have your first meal with us.
That's great. That's great. Huh.
This is Kevin in Canada calling. Do you do any other type of marketing?
We do a lot of email. We do a newsletter that is given away to every single person that walks into the restaurant. I don't do a mailed-out newsletter. We found that just giving away, putting a newsletter on the table, number one, gives them something to do, tells all about our place. We've got a real unusual venue, and we've got a brewery, we've got a beer garden, we have a wedding area, we have a saloon, we have restaurant. We just got so much going on that it takes this newsletter almost to explain to people everything we do have. I use Constant Contact, like Bill does, for electronic newsletters, and we're starting now to, I found a software program called, I'm trying to think of it, On Target. and it actually, you type in Houston, Texas, and it goes and finds email addresses in Houston, Texas. So you can do actual cold emailing if you want. And I did one the other day just to experiment. We sent out 1,575 emails to Scottsdale, Arizona that it extracted. And I put on the bottom, you know, that if you, you know, if we sent you this in error, please send us a remove. And I only got 5 removes out of the whole thing. And all the rest of them went through. So, you know, those people now are on my list. And that's free. The program was $199, but, you know, the ability to extract email addresses out of any city, really gives us some flexibility.
You know,
we've got a beer business also that we're doing around the country, so it really helps.
Where does it actually extract them from, Ed?
You know, I don't know.
I mean, is it a bot that goes out and finds them on the web?
Yeah, it does a couple of things. It goes to websites and extracts them out of there. And then there are two things. One of them's called Desktop Server, and that's the actual program that you can actually email outside of things like Constant Contact, right? And Desktop Server basically fools the Internet service provider into thinking it's just a normal email. It doesn't overload them. It sends them out a little bit at a time. And then along with this desktop server, for another $199, these guys will give you this on target. They also have another one they provide free with the desktop server, which it goes to websites and extracts all the emails out of websites. So you could type in, I mean, if you're in a golfing business of some sort, you could type in golf, and it would go find all the golfing websites in the world and extract whatever email addresses are there. So, you know, a lot could be done with it. I don't know what the response is. I sent 1,500 free coupons for St. Patrick's Day on a free dessert.
Yeah, I got one.
Oh, okay. And I'm going to see what at this point what we get back. You know, if we I sent two separate ones, and one went out on Constant Contact, and the other ones went out on this new program. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see if we get any response off the new program.
Oh, that's impressive. How big is your email list these days?
Our Constant Contact one is up about 2,000.
Okay, that's
good. And each time we send it, of course, you're going to get some bounces for one reason or another, and we keep gleaning out the bounces, and some weeks we don't get ahead.
Yep.
Our in-house email list, which we collected prior to Constant Contact, is probably 3,000 or 4,000 names, but you get an awful lot of bounces off of those. And, you know, I wanted to find a way to reach some new people without spending the money that the email opt-in program guys charge you.
Yeah.
To see if this on-target thing works, and I'll know because I sent out a different color coupon on that one than I did to the ones that went out in Constant Contact.
Right. I'm amazed in our little experience trying to do that. We even just took like the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce brochure that they put out and just manually typed in all the email addresses for all the local businesses and that kind of thing. How many people really reacted violently to spam? And that's essentially what you're doing, which, you know, I've dabbled in it too, and I think you get some good ones, but you have to be ready for some negative.
Well, you've gone through, but you know what? And this is really funny because Rory Fatt and I have been talking about this, and I think, Bill, you've got the same thing. Is you send out 1,200 emails on Constant Contact, and you'll get an open rate of about less than 50%.
Yeah.
And actually, what I'm thinking is that. Some of these browsers don't show when it opens. An AOL or some of these. So you're really getting more of an open rate than because all of ours are opt-in. I mean, the ones we send in Constant Contact are people who have come in a restaurant and signed up their email address so we can send them a free birthday dinner.
Right.
And so I know that they want it.
I wrote Bill a letter to that.
Yeah, Peter took me to task on that.
Because that's exactly what I contend is. I don't open emails. I just read them through the browser window.
Well, that could happen, see?
I'll bet 30% of people do that.
Yeah, and what we've done also is I experimented with the open rate. I had like a 44% open rate when it just said from Crazy Ed Maria to Satisfied Frog. And when I put in a subject line, this is not junk email, I got a 51% open rate.
Hmm.
So the clever or the line is that on a subject, you know, that's it's almost like writing a headline.
Yeah.
You know, you got to figure out something that's going to get their attention.
Yeah, and you can't use the word boobs or anything there either.
You can't.
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
You can't, you know, no Viagra.
No Viagra, that's right.
Well, yeah, and that's getting tougher. I mean, there's an amazing number of words. If you have something in there that says please remove, or, you know, something about remove,
yeah,
a lot of spam filters will throw it out.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, you know, we do, and I did that on, like I said, on this last one I went to, that I did for Scottsdale, Arizona, I put remove down, and I only got five. Five people came back and said remove. Now, I don't know, because I didn't send it through Constant Contact, how many actually opened or didn't open. So the only way I'm going to tell if that was anywhere successful is if we get some reservations off of this free coupon.
Yeah.
It's seeing that St. Patrick's Day is on a Monday, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see if this promotion helps build business. Because we're not, you know, we're not traditionally known to come and celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Ed, it's Kevin in Canada. Can you put me on your email list?
Yeah, sure.
It's greatfood@bellnat.ca.
Hang on just a minute.
Or you can go to his website.
Go to his site. Yeah,
go to his website and do it so you can see.
I tell you what, Kevin, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
If you will email me, then... and just say put me on your list, and it'll automatically go on.
Okay.
And it's chili1, the numeral 1, at ix.netcom.com.
Okay,
C-H-I-L-I
1.
1.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah, but you might want to go to his site and just see how he's got it set up.
Yeah, what is that?
There are two websites you probably ought to look at. One is www.satisfiedfrog.com. The other one is www.chilibeer.com.
I won't monopolize the conversation here anymore. I just wanted to say one more thing, Ed. We served your chili beer, unbeknownst to me. My brother happened to point it out to me about 8 or 9 years ago for a while. And it didn't dawn on me until we registered the Cave Creek name. It was Cave Creek Chili Beer. We sold it for about a year.
Right. Where are you located?
We're in Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Yeah, see, I don't have a distributor up there anymore, but I've got a guy in New York just took some chili beer. I think he's going to take to New England State, so we'll be back in the market.
Yeah, we had good luck with it. We would pair it with Mexican food and that kind of thing, but otherwise it didn't move a whole lot, but... if we ran it paired with some Mexican food, it did all right.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you try it again, the acceptance of chili beer has gotten better and better as people got used to beers that had flavor. So.
Well, it matured with time, I recall.
Yeah.
It would get stronger as it sat.
Our experience has been when the heat goes out of the pepper into the beer when it's pasteurized, and that's about it. So... But then you might be right. It could be getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah.
Well, if nothing else, it gives people something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of the promotions and the things that I did when I had my restaurant, I mean, from as far as did it make money kind of thing, I couldn't really point to a lot. But the fact that there was always something going on and there was always something to talk about, and gee, what about this, what about that, that in itself was enough, because people got the impression that something was happening here. Because you go in a lot of places and the energy is just flat. You know, they're going through the motions and it's same old, and I think that's what we got to get by.
Well, you know, we're known for doing unusual things, and, you know, we're always doing something new. I mean, you may come in and find a front door moved. You never know in our place.
There's a reason he's called Crazy Ed.
Yeah.
Who else do we have?
Been in his business for 4 years.
Yeah, well, that's crazy in itself. Who else do we have on the call here that we haven't heard from yet?
Butch is here.
Oh, great. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
The king of catfish.
There you go. I just called in.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been waiting for you.
Hey, Butch,
well, thank you. Butch, it's Kevin in Canada. I talked to you last month.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing, fella?
Very good.
Did you get your cards in place?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Good. Who'd you end up using?
Well, I'm using Aloha.
Aloha?
Yeah, POS systems.
Uh-huh.
They have all the cards.
Terrific. Any specific questions there, Butch, or you just call them and hang out?
No, not specifically. Like I said, I just got on and didn't get to hear the first part of the teleconference. And I'm doing a little bit with a loyalty card and a gift card. It's not a smart card. It hasn't got the chip in it. It's got the magnetic strip on the back. And it's worked real good for us. We had a good season with gift cards through the holidays, and then we started the loyalty card program. And it's working real good.
Now, do you have two separate cards, or is it all in one?
No, I use two separate cards.
You do, so they just look different?
They are.
Can you load loyalty points on the gift card if you wanted to?
You could, I think. I think you could. To keep the confusion down with employees and everything, we just did two different cards because I sell a lot of cards as safety awards, gift cards to different industries here locally. And they'll buy a $50 or $100 gift card to give for safety awards for their employees. And then we're doing something a little different with the with the gift cards, or with the loyalty cards, we're using points. With the gift cards, we use dollars.
Now, what are you paying, just out of curiosity, for your cards and for your processing?
I went on a program that had a flat fee. It cost me $109 a month for unlimited processing.
Wow.
And for the cards, I bought 2,000 cards to start with, and they were less. I think they were like 50 cents a card or a little less.
Okay.
And that included the full color artwork and everything.
And how long have you had this in place?
We got started back probably mid-November with it.
Mid-November. How many cards have you sold, gift cards have you sold since mid-November?
Ooh, I don't know. We sold a bunch of gift cards.
You ordered 2,000, you haven't reordered?
No, I have not reordered yet. I ordered 1,000 gifts and 1,000 loyalty because we've got, on the gift card it says gift card, and on the loyalty card it says the Catfish Club.
Okay. But since November then you haven't sold 1,000?
We have not sold 1,000 since November.
And the how many gift cards do you have? I mean, loyalty cards do you have out?
We just got started with the loyalty cards going out, and what we're doing with those is we charge to join that program. We charge $10,
uh-huh.
And then we turn around, and when we send them the card, we'll send the card out with the gift card for $10 on it. So we're giving them their money back. But we've probably done, we really just got started doing the gift cards the 1st of February. I mean, the loyalty cards the 1st of February, and we've probably sold 100 or 120 of those so far.
Oh, so you give that, you don't load the loyalty cards with the dollars. You just to keep track of the points with them.
Right. We keep
and when they achieve enough points, you give them another second card, a gift card with money on it.
Right. And,
oh.
Yeah, clever. See, and we've got it, ours is set so that when you swipe the card and the points reach certain levels, it gives them different rewards, such as at 100 points, if they want to redeem their points, they get a free Abbeville Catfish hat.
Huh.
I think at 250 points, if you keep accumulating, you can get a T-shirt, and then at 500 points, we give a $25 gift certificate.
Huh.
And it goes on up. And at any time, you can accumulate the, you can continue, either redeem your points or continue to allow them to accumulate.
Now, do you have information on this on your website?
If I don't, it will be up soon. My girl's supposed to be getting it put up. There might be a little bit on it. We're still. One thing that I've done is I went to with some of the local merchants, and we started a program with them that and we're calling them preferred merchants, and we give them a little advertising to do this. But they, if someone wants to go in and to their business and show their Catfish Club card, then they'll offer some type of discount to them, such as I've got outdoor shop, motorcycle shop, and he'll give a 10% discount on any accessories. I've got a place in town, like a flower shop, but she uses candies called Candy Boutique. And she makes arrangements using candy instead of flowers, and she'll give like a 15% discount. I've got an auto repair quick lube place that gives a discount. Just, still working with some other merchants. We've probably got 10 or 12 merchants signed on to do that, and now I've got, the word's starting to get out. I got merchants calling me wanting to participate and be part of that program.
That's great. Do you promote yours with email the way Ed does?
Not yet. We're just getting started.
Okay.
we're just getting started.
How are you selling these in-house primarily?
Just in-house. We put them in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Just mentioned it in the newsletter, and people started signing up for it. And, you know, intentions are to do a mail-out to our database, but we hadn't done that yet.
Well, that's pretty neat. Has anybody else got experience with the cards online?
Anybody else on the call got something?
Well, that's pretty neat.
Huh.
We're still learning with it. Hey, this is a learn-as-you-go for us.
What processor are you using?
Do what?
What processor are you using? You said you have unlimited processing and...
A company called Primetime Communications.
Primetime Communications. Do they have a website?
Yes, they do.
PrimetimeCommunications.com?
No, I don't think.
They like to keep confuse you, huh?
Well, I think it's under Millennium. I mean, I'm trying to look here and see.
And Ed, who are you using for your processing?
Well, it's a company called eCards out of California, and they're also a credit card processor, but we couldn't go with them because our point-of-sale system only works with like PaymentTech and a couple others.
Actually, we have PosiTouch as well, and they don't like to they're now locally here anyway doing their own processing, and they will charge you $400 to switch it to any other processor you want.
Yeah,
but nothing
PosiTouch has been real
there.
Tough, and my first thought was that if the same processor for credit cards, if we had when we bought the machines for the smart card, then we'd have a backup if the PosiTouch goes down.
Right.
And which we've had happen, and it always happens on Friday and the start of a big weekend. But we just finally decided to stick with PaymentTech, and it was just easier than trying to get somebody to they had to rewrite the interface software. Is
right.
Why they want to charge you the $400.
Of course.
And the people we're using now, it's a pretty good company. They charge us, I think, 10 cents a transaction, and it's not a whole lot every month. Like I said, if I hadn't already invested in the machines and the card, I would have gone with a Magstripe, and now PosiTouch is all they're offering through. PaymentTech's got it.
Right.
You know, so most of those providers have some sort of loyalty thing. The biggest problem you're going to run into is getting that person's name
right.
into the system.
You've got to type it in.
You've got to either email it to them, or in our case, we were filling out a long form. And we said, if we're going to do that, we might as well keep it in our own database and not have to worry about theirs.
Right. The guy that's selling me the cards, or trying to sell me the smart card versus the Magstripe, contends that all that information is held on the card, their name, everything.
Now, the problem is, how do you get it in there?
I see, because the terminal can't put it in there.
Yeah, the terminal doesn't know. Most of the terminals doesn't have a keyboard unless you hook one up.
I guess.
And then somebody has to input that. So
okay.
What we do is when we send the card out, we just take that number. The card will number in. And there's a way in our little machine you can do it if you want to stand there all day and put
right,
their name
right,
in.
Right. Okay.
But we just take the number and tie it to our own little database back in the back.
So the smart card would make sense if it were the kind of thing where you're swiping it through a PC and then you have a keyboard and you're entering all that information right there at the spot at the point of sale.
So our smart card machine has a slot in it that
right.
you just you insert the card and it reads the chip.
Gotcha.
And I'm hoping, I would hope that they give us a keyboard. I ought to look into that, see if there's a keyboard that'll hook up to that little machine where you could actually add the person's name. But then they want, they wanted another $60 or $70 a month to keep that information for you.
Right.
And I've got a girl that does that anyhow. So we just keep it in house.
Well, the program that I'm using has a database built into it.
It does. With names?
Yes. It's got a place that you can enter the names, addresses, and it was birth dates, anniversary dates through the internet.
That's what the one I have too. Is you have the internet web access and you can get on.
Right.
I think these guys probably have that too.
Yeah.
They didn't have when we first signed up.
I'm sure you sell them the card, record the number, and then go and add the information via the web directly.
Right.
Afterward, associated with that number. Is that how it works?
That's what we do.
Okay, that's cool.
That's what we're in. One thing about Primetime, probably one of the reasons that I went with them, is they do not offer credit card processing. This is their business.
Yeah.
This is what they do. And everybody else that I talked to said, sure, we've got gift cards. We'll talk to you about them if you'll give us your credit card processing.
I'm finding that a lot of these companies are not the actual processors, though. They're middlemen. Like Primetime probably doesn't physically do it. They're subcontracting through a larger company like Heartland or Data.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think Primetime, and this is their business, and this is what they do.
Okay.
And
they are the actual processor?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Did you find that website address?
I was looking for it here.
Okay.
I got a new computer. And
I'll just do a Google search.
What's your email address, and I'll send it to you?
It's peter@scargocafe.com. scargocafe.com.
Okay, I'll see if I can find. And the girl's name I deal with, his name's Lori. I'll see if I can find her information. I'll send it to you.
Appreciate it. Not to change the subject, Ed, your experience with PosiTouch, has it been positive, negative?
Well, our service provider here in Arizona, Southwest Business Systems, just terrible to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some other systems that, you know, it's just software.
Yep.
And I'm really, no, I'm not. We've been with them for a long time. Started out with a DOS system, and it went to Windows now, the upgrade.
Yep.
It's just terrible trying to get them to service the thing.
Yep.
And when it goes down, it's never their fault. It's always your fault.
Right.
It's overly
complicated.
If you weren't so busy, that's the whole thing. I'd find another. There are a couple systems. There's St. Louis Point of Sale now has a very nice restaurant system called Restaurant Express,
mm-hmm.
and it's a touchscreen. Uses off-the-shelf hardware. And my son just opened a restaurant, and we're hoping to install that in his just to test it. But we've got a complex deal. I mean, we've got 9 or 10 terminals spread out all over everywhere.
Wow.
With kitchen printers and bar printers, and
yeah.
And the thing always crashes on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, and not a lot, but when it goes, it really goes.
Huh. We actually are lucky enough to be serviced by the main. A company that wrote the software in Rhode Island.
Well, you're lucky.
But that doesn't help. I'm no better than you are. That's the
bad news.
Our servers are so used to this thing that when it does crash and you got to break out the adding machines and the guest checks, they don't even know how to add or subtract anymore.
Yeah, and they don't know what the prices are. That's
no, they have no idea.
All right.
I'll tell you what, the other thing, too, I'll be honest with you, I think it slowed our service down. It's supposed to speed it up.
Oh, my God.
We had a Sharp system that had just the PLU keyboard.
Yeah.
We were much faster.
Yeah.
Now it's standing in front of that screen. We would do 800 dinners on a Saturday night with 8 waitresses or servers, and they could just whip through it carrying their own food out. We're now doing the same amount of business, but we've got food runners, and these servers are supposed to be able to take care of the customer better, and I see them, they're in the weeds just as much as they've always been, because it's a system. You know, you go to a terminal, and either waiting for somebody, even though we've got 6 or 7 of them spread around, you're waiting or you're punching in all these little modifiers, and it was just much better when they all memorized that the New York Steak was a number 162. So I really think we hurt ourselves, and I would hope that someday to upgrade to a handheld situation where you're standing right at the table. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Digital dining is the one I'm looking at for that kind of thing, and I'm curious to talk to somebody that knows anything about it.
Yeah, well, I've looked at it, too, and it could be converted over. Our system could be converted over to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just the expense of it, and then, I don't want to be the experimental guy. Get too old for that.
You said you're looking at digital dining?
I would like to consider it. Yeah, it's one I've seen a little bit, and I like it so far.
Hmm.
Do you dislike it or like it?
I have the old digital dining system. I have the DOS system.
Okay, well, I wouldn't do anything DOS, but not these days. But
no.
You had bad experiences with the DOS format?
Yeah.
They say 90% of it is the person that's servicing it, but I don't know if that's necessarily
true. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's very true, and we don't have a local rep anymore. I'm in Virginia, and our rep is out of Ohio, so you can imagine now why we have problems.
See, the biggest problem with every one of these point-of-sale systems is they all supposedly tell you that they talk to the back-of-house office software.
Yep.
And, for example, QuickBooks. You know, every one of them say, oh, yeah, we talk to QuickBooks. But the problem with that is that all of these point-of-sale programs assume that everything you collect is cash or credit card. They don't take into consideration the discounts and any overs and shortages that you might come up with, and they don't give you a way to reconcile that before QuickBooks drags it all over. And that's, in looking at all the point-of-sale systems, that's the problem we've run into. You know, ideally, it would be great to, when he rang up a New York steak, it went back there and took it out of inventory. You know, most of these, pull them in the middle of the night sometime, and it can really be a screw-up. So, I got to be kind of careful what front-of-the-house software you're using. Anybody got any questions for me? I got to run and go back to work.
Somebody's got to be working today. How we doing, gang?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just curious if anyone has any experience with NTN and their loyalty and gift card program. Nancy, Tom, Nancy, they make pagers. They do the interactive television stuff.
All the trivia stuff.
And Damon's uses.
Yeah.
Before, just because Ed's got to go, does anybody have any more questions for Ed? Because we can stay on. We got the line for another 15 minutes, and we can certainly stay on. And
no, I think we've picked his brain dry.
Yeah, my brain's not got a lot left in it. Thanks, guys.
Ed, I appreciate the time, my friend.
Well, I'll see you in Vancouver.
I'll be in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Sure.
See you there. Well, let's go for dinner.
Sounds good to me.
All right, I'll call you.
Okay, good deal.
Bye.
Thanks. So what was the question then?
I was just curious if anyone had looked or has any experience with NTN from a gift card and loyalty card standpoint.
Are they pitching you currently?
They are. And, just listening to some of the figures bandied around here, the cost seems pretty good, 50 cents a card, it's all four-color artwork. The question that I haven't had answered, and because I didn't ask, is the mag strip versus the smart card. But the thing I don't like, you can run it through the old Trans 330 if your POS isn't compatible. But the database is all kept off premises. I mean, it's their database.
Yeah, except you have access to it, right?
Yes.
And they'll send you a printout of it if you want to change companies, is my understanding. Because that was my concern, was getting tied into one company. Most of these guys don't have, don't have any commitments really that you have to sign or anything. And I thought, what if you got started with a company 6 months later, you thought there was a better one out there? Could you switch? Well, obviously, it would all have to be entered. The data would have to be entered by hand, but they will give you a printout of your database. I assume some of them would even give you an ASCII file too that you could automatically transfer to another processor. But it's just like credit card processing, from what I can tell. Most of them have a monthly fee of $10 or $15 or $25. They charge you for the cards. I've gotten prices as low as 35 cents for four-color processed, coated, laminated, grade A cards. But some of them will charge you a buck. The other big variable I'm finding is a minimum charge. Some of them have a minimum of $35 a month. Others have a minimum of $15. It seems like they all do the same thing. It's like anything else. You have to figure out what your needs are.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, and it may be one of those things that when you really get down to it, once you get close, the final differences may not be enough to justify, another 3 weeks worth of investigation.
Right.
Right. What makes that database private?
What makes
confidential?
It confidential?
Yeah.
Password.
That's so nobody else can get on, but what keeps the companies from using it for other means?
I think it's just an issue that they probably let you know right up front. Everybody's so paranoid about that nowadays that I think they tell you right away that it's, stored. I keep my mailing list with a guy through Guestbook, a guy in Portland, Oregon, and it's totally confidential. So it's like money in the bank, I guess, at a certain point. You have to know who you're dealing business with. But But I guess it would be an issue. You'd have to at least make sure you had checked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's been helpful.
You raise a really good point, though. I wonder if any of these companies do actually give you your database in an electronic format rather than just printing it out, because that would be a very big key point.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly they've got it in that format.
Right. Yeah.
You should be able to get it.
As I said, even our mailing list, our physical mailing list, we do it with guest book. It's just like making a deposit. I send them all our new entries every month, and they cast certify them. But anytime I want an actual copy of it, he does charge me for either a filter or a fee. And it'll cost me about $150 to have him actually email me the entire file.
Hmm.
So, I guess everybody's got to make a buck, you know. As long as you know it going in, it's not a big surprise.
Well, I think there's, you know, a number of the, you know, I've certainly, as you know, put some of my stuff on services rather than doing it myself. And all the stuff I've got so far, Constant Contact and my shopping cart and so forth, I can go in there and just have, the, you know, say, you know, I want this. And it automatically emails me the file.
Right.
So I can pull that stuff down right off the web.
Sure.
And there's no transaction fee for it.
The two names I heard mentioned were the Primetime Communications and eCards. Is anybody else using anything that they'd recommend at this point?
Well, I'm working with two companies. One is called, if you go to MasterCardVisa.com, I'm amazed he got that website, but he has MCVisa.com, it's Credit Card Processing Services. And he does both credit cards and gift loyalty cards, but he doesn't try to sell you both. He really wants to concentrate on one. He's the one that's pushing smart cards with me.
Okay, MasterCardVisa.com.
Yep,
okay.
It's MCVisa.com.
Okay.
Not the words, MasterCard. And his name is Kevin, and I take that back. He's not the one pitching the smart cards. He's pitching the MagStripe cards. But his prices are the cheapest. He has a great package for somebody who just wants to start out. And he sent me recently updated pricing, a little cheaper than what was on the website that I was pretty impressed with. 39 cents for cards. He has a package. You start off at $495, includes 400 cards, four color card carriers, which are little cardboard things that hold the cards, you know, on display,
mm-hmm.
like on a rack or whatever. You have to have the terminal already, but you can buy the equipment from him or buy it used on eBay or wherever you want. Additional cards for 39 cents, $10 monthly database management and statement fee, and 20 cents per transaction. That was pretty cheap. But the advantage of these smart cards, though, is that if you think you're going to recycle them, I guess, there's no transaction fees. I'm amazed that Ed is paying any transaction fee with them, because I'm hearing from everybody. If you have smart cards, you pay once a day to download the information or upload the information to their master database. Otherwise, there's no transaction fees whatsoever associated with them.
But this MCVisa is not a smart card operation. That's a Mag.
That's MagCard, right?
Who's your smart card?
The smart card contact was, well, his name is Bill Woodward. Let me pull up an email from him. He's been working on me for a couple of years, originally as MagStripe cards, but I'll give you his email address. And Gift Card USA. Oh, no, I take that back. Let's see. Bill Woodward 10 at earthlink.net.
Bill Woodward, what was the third?
Bill Woodward 10.
10, number 10.
10-10 at earthlink.net.
You.
He seems like a pretty good guy, but I started to say earlier, before Ed got off too, the big thing with this guy is, aside from the fact that he's pushing the smart cards, he really supports you in getting the programs going. If you need somebody to hold you by the hand and do all the design your card for you, for instance, this credit card processing company, you have to send them camera-ready art. Bill will take your logo off your website and work something up and send it to you and see if you like it. He's constantly sending me mock-ups of gift cards. He'll design table tents for you. He does all that stuff, but his prices are a little higher. And he, like I said, he's currently pitching these smart cards. But, you know, you can't do everything yourself. He does a nice job from what I can tell. I just think he's a little pricey.
Well, it may be worth it if you get the service.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because sometimes, I mean, once you get it up and running, then people go, oh, okay, that's how it works. But
right.
A lot of times, they, you know, it's that getting over that first hump.
Yeah.
To put it in
well,
place.
That was my concern with him, too. I thought, you know, if I gave this guy a year and I bought stuff from him and got going and saw whether or not I did need his services, then I could decide after a year, am I paying for a lot of stuff that I'm not using? Should I go to this discount processor? And but there aren't a lot of people doing the smart cards, not as many as the MagStripe cards.
Well, the
thing,
thing
is, if you're torn, the machines will read both, some of them,
mm-hmm.
not all of them. They all read MagStripes, but not all of them read smart cards.
Well,
about $100 more to get a machine that will read the smart cards, too. And I guess even if you're not going to use the smart cards and you're buying the stuff, if you're looking forward, you might as well pay the extra $100.
Well, I go back to, if you remember, one of the things that Molly Hancock said at the summit was talking about this idea of return on management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you get back for the time that you're spending, and is that what you ought to be spending your time doing? Yeah, you could say you might be able to save $100, but in the meantime, what's the cost?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I would say, particularly if it's in a new area and you've got somebody who knows it and will walk you through it, that it would be worth it, unless it's 30 times the price.
Yep. Yep.
Which is easy for me to say because I'm not paying it.
Well,
but.
No, but it's the wise, it's the wise determination that everybody comes to eventually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I catch myself every once in a while saying, I'm spending how much time to save how much money?
Well, restaurateurs are generally pretty cheap.
Yeah.
They're good at squeezing every last bit of
yeah,
last bit of sauce out of something, you know?
And most of them are also stressed to the max. I mean, that's the issue. If your head was clear, how much more, you know, would you be able to bring into your marketing efforts and your sales efforts?
Yeah.
You know, that seems to me that's where it's got to go, is that, you know, when your head's clear and you can do the stuff that you ought to be doing, the opportunities to increase sales are a hell of a lot more profitable than any kind of cost savings that you might be able to get by applying that same time.
Right.
But don't get me started. Anyway, anything else, gang? Or have we got it?
I think we're there.
Okay, works for me.
I thank you all.
Listen,
thank you for me again, too.
Well, thanks for calling in, and, you know, I appreciate that. I want to get a few more, you know, forum-type things open. Just, you know, if it's not a teleconference, it's a chance to call in and say, if anybody's got something about POS systems, let's call up and talk about it.
Did you catch Jim Lau's teleconference on catering not too long ago?
No, I didn't.
He had quite a big turnout.
Oh, great.
It's about, I'll bet there were 100 people on the line.